As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
I love to coach, right? I love answering questions, and I'd love to share my dummy tags and try to articulate things in a quantitative manner. It's just what I love. It's why I can go live every single day and most people can't. Because it's like playing golf. I found something I love more than playing golf. I'd rather go on an IG live than play golf with Sean. And I love Sean and I love golf. This is something that I love. So for me, if you love to coach, I literally believe this is how you coach, because it takes away this problem that exists in coaching is we want more for our clients than they want for themselves. They're not vibrating at the same frequency. Obviously, they're not vibrating at the same frequency as you. You're the coach.
Yeah.
Right. They'd be coaching me, right? Because I'm open to it. So I use time as a dependent variable to all matter. So what do I say to myself? Certain people can take up my non-time or my expensive time. And you have tons of coaches out there and philosophers that talk about Chronos time. And so specifically, if I'm stuck to a schedule, that's expensive time to me. So if Katya and I are working together and I mark off 2 weeks from now, Monday at 4 p.m., that's expensive time for me because I know I'm just going to have more options, opportunities, and touches of favor. And now for that 20 minutes, no matter what happens, invariable. I can't make it consistent, but I pretty much, that's expensive time. So what do? Number one, I do as much as free as possible on my time, non-time. Nobody knows the difference when my free Friday trainings are 6 a.m., 9 a.m., or on Thursdays, because I have done free Friday trainings on Thursday, but I haven't missed a week for over 23 years because it's non-time, right? Then, so I do as much as I can for free. So I allow frequency itself to move people to where they want to go. So I do all this for free and certain people are like, holy shit, you changed my life. Or I want more of Dave Meltzer. And then they'll say, I want to coach one-on-one with you. Well, that's not non-time to me. So there's an expense to that. And you're going to have to play by my rules in this realm, which already alleviates a lot of the problems that I had one-on-one coaching because I wasn't getting the value, timing, et cetera. Now, I created a middle space, which is office hours, and I stole it from my college experience. Okay, you can't afford me one-on-one, but you want my individual help. So every Monday, I'll tell you what time I'm available for an hour or two, virtually, and it's very inexpensive. So pretty much, if you want it, you can afford it. If you don't want it, you're not going to be able to afford it. It's that simple. But I allow myself to love what I'm doing. I don't fire any clients. I just tell them, hey, you should join my group. This is a waste of your cash. And then from there comes all the business development, the real money side of what I do that funds all the free stuff I do. Mm-hmm. Pays for all the books, pays for all the things I do for free in the world, building community centers, whatever it is. So if you do love to coach, I can give you a pragmatic way to get out of this. I don't have any clients. I don't like my clients. I want more for my clients than they want for themselves. This is a waste of effing time.
Sean, you had mentioned BYS and how you think that you're going to actually eclipse BDC faster with that. Can you go into detail a little bit about what you think is going to get you there faster? Is it the community? Is it the collaboration? Is it the system procedures that you have more awareness on now? Like, because there's a lot of people in here that are trying to do another thing. And so, I mean, for me, I'm just like a very like black and white, like I need to know like what's going to get me there faster. Like if I have those steps or I have more awareness, then I feel like I can do that. But without that, I'm just kind of like, well, I could, or what if this? So can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. Let me see if I can kind of map out all the things. One, I think that we've already done it. BYS looks like BDC. So we have the model, right? It's going to, we know the model. We know the model works. It's all based off of MRR. But two, later on, that brand is way better than the BDC brand. I mean, it's a New York Times bestseller. It's been around forever. We go and talk to financial planners, and they're like, oh, yeah, Book Yourself Solid. Love it. Heard of it. Lawyers, there's like the reach of that brand was big in its heyday. It was, you know, a lot of people know about it. Three, right people. You know, we had a couple personnel swaps. Matthew Kimberly is a rock star. Matthew Kimberly writes copy and the cash registers light up. I mean, just Matthew Kimberly is Matthew Kimberly. Like he's the man, right? He knows what he's doing. And so that was a very good move for us from a sales and marketing perspective. Three, those three things parlay together. The next part is Matthew has tremendous relationship capital as well. So that was, and coming in, it wasn't micro relationship capital, it was macro relationship capital. I think that this week, Matthew is with Amy Porterfield and somebody else is launching a book. So who is it? Laura Belgrade. Yeah. And so, yes, I mean, Matthew just has super great connections. It was just a different level of playing, and Matthew gets along super great with us. And so that really works. The last thing, has been really the reason why is because it sets itself up for enterprise work. In the challenge, we've had multiple, people that have reached out. One woman that owns the largest Keller Williams franchise, she was like, what does it look like to have you train our agents? Another lawyer that has 200 attorneys reached out, what does it look like to have you train our attorneys? So it really has gone from a one-on-one where we're, you know, hey, going, you know, one spine at a time, to where now from an enterprise standpoint, that has been, that door has been opened. Little known fact, don't repeat this other than we're taping it, but don't post this on social media. The other bidder under consideration to purchase, who we beat out, was that was one for us, like, to know our offer, and we were a lower offer financially. Wanted it though because he wanted to plug it into, which is SaaS. Well, and Michael was like, this makes sense because you guys can own it and can still get what he wants. So we can still, and we're working on that. So that's why if we're plugged into the number of people that come into BYS, if we have one enterprise contract with a Keller Williams franchisee, the number of people that come into BYS it eclipses BDC like overnight. It just goes bang, right? Like, and then that's the vision, BYS to grow, BDC to scale. And I think that kind of speaks to Cassidy's thing is, as you elevate, one of the sad things that, you know, as Dave was saying, like, I care more about my client's success than they do. But as you elevate, then the available pool becomes less and less, right? So the people who are trying to make $10 million is far less than the people that are trying to make $1 million. When you go out into the world and you're like, who wants to make $1 million? Like, everybody, anybody who's made $1 million, and then you're like, who wants to make 10 million? And their thought, they're kind of like, well, that could be 10 times as much work. So I'm kind of happy right now where I'm at, right? Like, I'm not dying. So, but I definitely am not trying to entertain a 10x output because of what that might represent. And that's part of why you come to something like this, because it's not linear. It's not 10 times as much work to make 10 million as it was to make 1 million, but that's what stops people. But that's what then causes that pool to shrink down, right? The amount of people trying to do incredible things in the world who are willing to pay money and actually take action on it is small. And so there would be a smaller pool of that that you're pulling from. But those people, like we talk about, rich-minded people will pay a lot of money in an effort to save a little time. Poor-minded people will try to figure it out on their own. So they'll spend all of their time trying to figure something out just because they wanted to save a little bit of money. For whatever, for the amount of money that you pay to come this weekend, if an idea, not even as like an idea that you execute on, but an idea that saves you a year towards getting to your end goal faster. If you're going along at $1 million, that saved you $1 million. If you're making 10 million, then that saved you 10 million on the backside, right? If you're making 100 million, then that one thing saved you $100 million. That's why you get an exponential ROI. Rich minded people understand that. They're like, I get that's why I would do this, because on the backside of my life, I'm making so much money. But if the plan was to make $1 million and stop, then it's not that helpful over time, right? It's not that useful. But if my plan was to continue to grow, you know, all of the mentorship, all of the guidance and coaching is all super worth it, because it pays off big on the backside. That was another thing too. I want to share, you know, it's kind of to your point, Eric. We spent so much money, and it's not a knock on him. So who we attribute our success to, first starting with Michael, when we had no money and paying him $4,000 that we didn't have, then a massive jump when we went from Michael to Jay Abraham and paying Jay Abraham astronomical amounts of money that we still did not have, and then working with Dave. And in that time with Jay, we were always trying, like the number one question we asked every single time was to get us out of this stuckedness in chiropractic, out into other verticals. And for that entire time, in my mind, Jay could not figure it out. Mm-hmm. But in retrospect, everything that he taught us, because we were just implementers, is what brought us to the point where now we're sitting here, like literally when the orders are coming in for the Book Yourself Solid Challenge, we don't know 9 out of 10 of them. Like, it's just names that are just rolling in, and we're like, who are these people? That's part, like, we know, like, oh, like, we're on it, because it's not just the same people repeating over and over and over again. But that was all part of what we learned literally like 5 years ago, right? Where Jay was constantly giving us this guidance. And I understand how it can seem, because it definitely seemed like it to us that we were stuck. Like, oh, Jay doesn't get it. But Jay was giving us great advice that was not implementable fully until we had all of the pieces. Like today we are implementing what Jay told us 5 years ago, right? Because we can't just, like, what were we going to do? Reinvent Book Yourself Solid? The opportunity had to be there in order for us to execute on it. The other piece of that I get asked a lot too, I think is key, is the social media pieces, which honestly is relationship connections from Dave. And Dave's team first, and then we've collaborated with them to make some of that available to you. It's not all available, because it's people, because there's limited resource on their time. As I had somebody reach out to me yesterday that was like, tell me who built the challenge and how do I work with them? And I was like, well, that's the problem, is you can't, right? We waited literally 2 years, right, to be able to get in with those guys. And then with Chris, and now Chris has an option. Justin and Chris have worked so that there's an amplification strategy with you, but then an ad strategy with you is harder, right? Because then Chris's team and all of that. And I think that's a large part of what has helped us, is we understand social. I will tell you, until Chris Chung ran a single ad for us, I mean, and a lot of you know who we've worked with, but I will tell you honestly, until Chris Chung ran an ad for us, we had never seen an ROI on a social media ad. Never. Until Chris Chung. So I gained an understanding that either I had to make a decision, either everybody was stupid and scamming us, or there is an elite amount of people over here that really understand conversion. And Chris walked us through a path before he would run ads. He made sure, and we've talked to you about that, content amplification and then conversion. Most of you are just going straight to conversion and there's no content and no amplification. So nobody knows who you are. So you're running ads in cold audience. But it took that long time for that to happen for us. That base is there now today because we put out so much content. So when they're running ads for BYS, of course, they convert better than if we were doing this 5 years ago. And I would say if we just handed any of you Book Yourself Solid, you'd have all of the same advantages except for the amount of content that we've put out. So maybe Sam, right? Like the amount of content is what drives that conversion. So those are the sort of, I think, the key formulas or the key components that have made it more successful.
You know why people spend billions of dollars on funnels with no traffic? Like it blows my mind. So it's not even that there's dishonest people, right? It's that they're doing what you ask, but they don't even realize that what they're doing for you isn't going to work. They know what they're doing, but they don't understand the stage theory that first you have to focus on capturing who your essence is, your skills, knowledge, and desire, then learn to modify it, then actually amplify it, then you can advertise, then you can buy ads against it. But if you have no community, none of this works. It's not going to, unless you spend your money to build the community, which is in person, on the phone, via email, and media, is how you build a community. Once the community is set, now you can do, and Jay knew what he was talking about, but he missed the assumption that Sean and Lacey didn't have a community. So the advice that he was giving him wouldn't work. But once he had the community and learned how to do that, and that's why I taught Chris Chung, by the way, he's been fired 3 times by me early on, because he was perceived by Justin, who runs my media, as a scammer. And it took me with a more wise approach of saying, no, we're not to the place where he needs us to be, so we're wasting our money. And so, you know, changing my timing and risk tolerance, making a true investment and building my community, then everything worked. And I started to realize, hey, now this kid's getting a lot of reps from what I'm doing. He's better than the rest because he's doing so many reps. He's seeing the secrets, right? Remember, if you love what you do, if you do it a lot, you stay consistent and persistent, it will tell you all its secrets. It's the secrets that make the people that you see successful. It's the secrets. And I'm looking at this guy, Sam, because it's so true in sales. If you're not willing to put the work in, if you're not willing to do the reps, then you can't sell because you don't know the secrets.
The consistency to all of this, if we look back and listen to everyone talk, is they built a brand over 7 years. It didn't happen in 3. It didn't happen in 2. So everyone that's out there right now, if you're thinking that you haven't done enough, you need to do more. Maybe you are doing exactly what you're supposed to do and your trajectory that you're actually supposed to be mimicking is right in front of you and you're actually on it and you're putting out all the information you're supposed to put and the bow's just being drawn back and drawn back and drawn back. Eventually, it's going to go. And if you look at the proof is Sean and Lacey built a brand. David built a brand. And you can't purchase BYS without the SNL brand and the BDC brand behind it. So building that brand, I think this comes back to everything of build your personal brand, and you build it with exactly like David said, free content, emails, and like Sean and Lacey talk about too. But all of that requires a lot of work, but it comes back to that brand. And the content that you and Lacey put out or that you put out, all of it's driven to drive your brand. And then that just leads to every other vertical thereafter. And that was, I just wanted to drive that point home, is building that brand is so incredibly solid and important.
5 daily practices.
All right. So a lot of the questions.
Takes a lot of time.
People think like, oh, like just overnight be like insta-famous. And it's like, my sister did overnight become insta-famous over a bad haircut. And she became this big influencer, and I was like, oh, cool, like, you just way surpassed me in influence. And she gets like 40,000 views on every one of her stories and blah, blah, blah. But it was interesting. Her challenge was to monetize that. So there's non-obvious content, and there's obvious content. A lot of times, like, we're chasing this obvious content, which is kind of this, like, clickbait and funny this and that. And it's like, well, if I'm trying to make money on this, how do I create non-obvious content that has like real value and has like a niche? And then maybe it's more specified to a specific audience instead of trying to go after the entire general public. And so it's like really asking yourself, like, where am I growing and what type of content audience am I really trying to create?
I think that that's so important though, because I feel like too many people are in love with the end result and not the process. Well, and I feel like some of you need to fall back in love with the process of getting to the end result, because that will light your fire again, right? We cannot just be in love with the very end. That's exhausting, you know, and because you're not in love with the things that you do to get you there. And so that's something to think about too.
And I think a lot of people care so much about the amount of views or the amount of followers. And I'm like, I'd rather have, like, I wish I could redo. There's one time I bought like 90 followers or 90,000 followers or like X amount of followers. And I was like, that was the stupidest thing I ever did.
Absolutely.
And I was like, I wish I could rewind that somehow and like restart. And I'd rather have 10,000 followers that all actually know who I am versus 150,000 followers that don't, you know what I mean? Like, and I think so many people get so obsessed with that image of like, I need to have this many likes or views or this many followers, when in reality, it's like, no, you need to know and have a relationship with the people that actually follow you, or they need to have a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too, understanding the difference between three things. There's people that watch you, which is an interesting area that people have dissipated or discounted today. Right. I come from a generation of listening and watching, you know, repetitive commercials that pretty soon the jingle's in my head. And it's called the bedtime story philosophy. It's how I became a popular speaker, is once I got over the fear of repeating myself. So I'm a great storyteller because I teach lessons with stories with true emotions, and it resonates with you and people like you. And the reason though is I'm not afraid to tell a story, because I realized that when I was a little boy, I would ask my grandfather to tell me the same goddamn story every time I saw him. And when I went to the Rolling Stones concert with these two, if Mick Jagger didn't sing Satisfaction, I would want my money back. I could pay for the album. I can listen to him for free whenever I want. But if he didn't play that song. And so I make sure I tell my jacket story. I make sure I tell certain stories because I understand the watching value of why people will watch me, regardless if they become an ambassador, regardless if they follow me, right? I would much rather not have 10 million followers. That does nothing but make it me busy not helping people. That, like, if you have enough time to follow me, like truly follow me, then all I'm going to do is be bled by you. Right, I want people that want to hear one story from me, that get a message and change their life or whatever it is that I, and then you have ambassadorship, which is the other side of people watching you, following you. There's a certain number of people that will want to prophesize you. They want to interpret you. They want to tell everyone how great you are, to watch your TV shows, your podcasts, buy your books, come to masterminds, listen to you speak, hire you, all the things that you want. But it doesn't take many. It doesn't take 10 million. You couldn't handle, you know, my biggest thing, Sam, with the followers is that I want to be authentic to my to people who care about me in whatever respect it is. So I want to have a way to communicate with them that isn't ignoring them or not being authentic. So I come up with very efficient ways, templates and other things to help. But you, biggest mistake I see people, it's an ego play. I'll actually ask people, because we have a media company that, you know, I outsource all of the social media stuff that I have. And the first question I ask is this about your ego, or is this about a specific audience that you want to engage with, a community you want to build, your frequency? Because I want to know if it's an ego thing. I know exactly what to do. I know the contest to run. I know all the people that will do it. You want 1 million followers? Just I'll tell you how much it costs. If it's an ego thing, then do it. Go pay for stages. There's tons of stuff I can do for you if it's an ego thing. And I think that decision's important. And you realize that from the start. 5 daily practices?
Yeah. One last thing. The reverse also is true. You guys have seen, because and Dave benefits greatly from this. It happens a lot with athletes. That's the same thing that happens to Michael Chandler. Some millions of followers, or at least a million plus, yeah. Watching him every Tuesday night on The Ultimate Fighter, and literally sit and tell him, you have zero monetization of this. Like, Michael, you are an object of Dana White's desire. And you're being held out there as a gladiator, and all these people make money because of you, except you, right? He gets paid something to do it, but it's not proportionate to the risk of getting your face beat in, right? And I'm like, that's weird. So the reverse can happen. That's all real. Like, those people actually, you know, quote, know Michael Chandler, but they don't ever give him. I told him, like, what if they just gave you $10? Just make them all give you $10. You would be like super set. If you just,
you get paid more than the fight with McGregor.
You'd be paid more than the fight. And so that reverse also happens, where, you know, some people just struggle and they create the fake audience, right? And that don't know them. Other people actually have the audience and don't have the ability, or have not yet reach the ability to monetize that audience, which is also critical.
So, Kat, if you have a bad book, what good is it? And so what I mean by that is, if you're putting out shit, who do you think's going to resonate with shit? Shitty people. And, you know, and then also don't get mistaken too by followings that occur in what I call modeling. It's always been human nature that if you are beautiful in one respect or original, then you're a model. So there are people who have 10 million followers and they've learned to monetize it, because if they wear a certain makeup or a certain sweater, whatever, that will generate sales for that company, and that company will pay for a person. The interesting thing is that the mistake that these people make that are beautiful models, Kim Kardashian, because she has so many followers, can cross the line, or Jenner, what's her name, Kylie. But usually, look, there's anomalies all over the place, but the majority of the people that have, you know, 10 million followers, they're beautiful models in respect. But if they put their name, Ellie Zeiler, on makeup, it's not going to sell, even with 10 million followers. But if she wears L'Oreal, then L'Oreal will pay her, and L'Oreal has an aggregate effect of all these 10 million followers that equals what Kylie Jenner or Kim has, or whatever they are. But they're just models. And that is a business model, to be a model. And then you can, you're a billboard, right? It sells, which is cool. And so that's another area in this space that people mistake. They're like, you know, I see her get all this money, but why? Think about why. And, you know, I certainly can't play in that space. Never have. Although I am a L'Oreal model.
Travis Matthews.
Yeah, Travis Matthews. Mm-hmm. But I give it free clothes. But excuse me 1 second, because this is a good example. I went into Travis Matthews because they want my audience of, you know, people who travel a lot. Right, because they're super comfortable, stylish clothes that don't wrinkle. Whether I played golf or not, they didn't care. They wanted a lifestyle ambassador. And everybody else was asking for a ton of money. And I just said, just look, man, give everybody I know clothes, give me clothes, and I'll wear them because I love your clothes. And yet now all Callaway buys Travis Matthews. Everybody follows me in that genre. Right, because they're pumping me as much as they can to show me how cool their stuff looks. And then what happens? Now they have bigger budgets. So now they hire me to do what I love to do. Speak, coach, all the things I love to do. And I make more money than Ellie Zeiler, who models L'Oreal. And I get free clothes for me and my friends.
So something that's kind of happening, we're seeing an evolution with these brands. And I see this with a lot of the work that I do with brands in the outdoor industry. I'm one of those people that has 10,000 followers, but I have a 30% engagement rate, which is what a lot more of the brands are looking at now. And so they're looking at that engagement rate of saying, okay, yeah, you don't have a million of followers, but you have such a high engagement rate of the people who do follow you that we know that people will buy what you're talking about. And a lot more of the outdoor brands are starting to let go of their people that have millions of followers. Eddie Bauer just had a huge, they let go of their entire athlete range because now they're putting all of their focus on community leaders. So they're bringing on people like me who serve the plus size community. For sure. And so it really angered a lot of these athletes who have millions of followers who their entire job is to be an outdoor athlete because they're saying, well, you're not an official outdoor athlete, but I have so much influence into a community that they're really trying to tap into that a lot of the outdoor brands and now some of the other non-outdoor brands are starting to follow that trajectory of finding people who have such a large influence in a community versus finding someone who's just an individual that has a lot of influence over people who like watching them, but who don't really follow their story.
So this is where the middle class media is going to be in the future, which is absolutely true. Same with in-person. Sean brought this up at the Over the Top dinner that we had about how important it's going to be with artificial intelligence to be able to communicate in person. Because of that, why I want to hear satisfaction at a concert instead of just listening to Mick Jagger, which I can do every day, all day long. But it was super exciting when that song came on. But I'm thinking about doing a video about what I did with the video. And so I believe that the future economically of monetizing is 1,000 ambassadors. So if you have 1,000 ambassadors like you do, Meg, because you have 10,000 followers, you have an engagement rate of about 3,000 people. Out of those 3,000 people, about a third of them are ambassadors, meaning they're actually telling people to watch you and suggesting, hey, this is good content. You're into what I'm into. So is she, but it's killer fun, entertaining, whatever. So it's called the 1,000 ambassador approach, which is, okay, I have 1,000 ambassadors. I'm going to sell those ambassadors a $27 video with what I know they're listening for, because I'm actually interested in my community and I know what they're listening for. So therefore they're all interested in transitioning. So I'm going to do a video on how to transition from your primary source of income. And it's going to be $27. So I have 1,000 ambassadors. I know that with very little advertising that I could spend $2,500 in a month just marketing to my 10,000 people. And if of the 1,000 ambassadors I have, 100 will purchase the first month. So I'll put $2,500 in, I'll get $2,700 out, I'll make $200. The next month, I'll pour the $2,700 in, and it'll move to about 110 people will purchase the $2,700. By the end of the year, my ambassadorship will grow because I'm creating valuable content, speaking to what people are listening for. And on the same $2,500 a month, I'm now selling 1,000 videos at $27 a month in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. Because until that issue dies, which will be never. And so looking at it, I've now created a $25,000 a month income source for the rest of my life. But in the meantime, I'm creating more of these. And what else is happening? Those are all new ambassadors. So I went from 1,000 ambassadors at the beginning of the year and no income, breaking even, to $25,000 of passive income by the end of the year. And I now have somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 ambassadors. That's why the business model works, because you have a free exposure to 7.6 billion people. And if you get to a point by investing, you put a lot of effort into getting 1,000 ambassadors, Meg. It's taken you a long time. And the trend is moving that way, but she knows her essence. I don't know shit about what she does, right? It's not, but she does. And there's millions of people that love it, and it's just going to grow. And so I suggest all of you that are interested in this type of stuff to think about this middle class of media. And that's why so many companies like Kajabi, Thinkific, Mighty Networks are doing so well and getting so funded, because the future is exactly the critical business issue that right now I advise to the largest podcast advertising agency. And they're all panicked because people are cutting their budgets. No, they're not. You see, the early adopters that came in are cutting their budgets because they have less money. But the BMWs of the world right now, what are they doing? They're like, TV's really fucking expensive. We've dilly-dallied forever. And these podcast advertising agencies think, oh my God, they budgeted $800,000 this year for podcast ads. Are you kidding? Do you know what $800,000 to BMW is, or to Coke, or to India? It's nothing. And they haven't leaned in yet. And so if we understand how these things grow and see through studying history, you're golden. Mm-hmm. And you're golden. Trust me, 10 years from now, you'll be making more money doing what you're doing on the outdoor stuff than you make in anything else by far. If you stick to what you're doing, because that's the exact point. And those who have bigger head starts, it's going to be amazing because it's going to get more expensive to get in if you're not already in.